Al-Bayan Radio presents The Etiquettes of a Believer, presented by Naseem Abidi.
Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu salam ala rasulillah. We continue with the series Etiquettes of the Believer, and this week we're up to the adab ma'an nafs, the adab with oneself. So we finished with Allah Azza wa Jalla, we finished with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and with the companions. After that, we focus on ourself. And this is where you start to link especially your belief and your etiquette with Allah Azza wa Jal and with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in yourself. The whole point of the religion and knowledge is to better oneself. If a person isn't bettering himself with every piece of knowledge that he gets, then this is a question mark on what his intention is and what the reality of that knowledge is for him. First and foremost, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us via the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a hadith that وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. The Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. So whenever we seek knowledge, whenever we learn something, we learn, you know, all of these etiquettes with Allah, all of these etiquettes with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now it's upon, are we going to implement our knowledge or not? If we're not getting better with our knowledge, if our knowledge is going up and up and up, but we're not implementing it, this will be a proof against us on the Day of Judgment. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move until he's asking about 4 things. From amongst those things, وعن علمه وفيما فعل فيه. And he'll be asked about his knowledge and what he done with his knowledge. So now when we speak about the etiquette with your own self, a lot of it is going to be about implementing the knowledge. It's just going to be mentioned in different ways. First and foremost, when we speak about the nafs, in general we're speaking about yourself in all senses. In all senses, but we're speaking about the person's self. Because the word nafs is used in many different ways in the Arabic language. And sometimes we use it to mean a person's desires. Sometimes we use it to mean the person himself. In general, whenever we're speaking about the nafs in this particular lesson, always thinks everything and anything to do with me, especially my character and my mannerisms and who I am as a person. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran split up the nafs into 3 different types. Al-nafs al-amara bis-su' wal-nafs al-lawwama wal-nafs al-mutma'inna. When Allah spoke about an-nafs al-amaratun bis-su', this is the nafs that always tells a person to do bad. It only tells a person to do bad and he has no conscience of what he does. Whether it's halal or haram, he could not care. His nafs tells him to do bad and he just follows his nafs. This one, obviously, Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about it in a bad manner. The second nafs is the an-nafs al-lawwama. An-nafs al-lawwama is the nafs which blames itself for doing wrong. So this is a nafs that's split between good and bad. It knows what to do, it does it to the best of its ability, but a lot of the time also it does haram. When it does good, it's happy, and it tells itself, the person reminds himself to do good, and when he does bad, his nafs is not comfortable with it. He commits haram, but his nafs isn't comfortable with it. This is the nafs that a lot of people, a lot of Muslims, are in between. A lot of the good Muslims are in between. They haven't reached the pinnacle, but they're not extremely bad. They do good and they're happy with it, and when they do bad, they're not happy with it, and their nafs tells them that you should have repented and you shouldn't have done that way. The last one, which is what we should all be aiming to be, is an-nafs al-lawwama, an-nafs al-mutma'inna. An-nafs al-mutma'inna is that content nafs. The content nafs which Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with, and it is pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's that it's reached the level where it's doing good and it remains upon good and it stays as far away as from bad as it can. And that's what we should all be aiming to do. And inshallah, this lesson will help us get there. The first etiquette when it comes to our nafs is to seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal in fixing it. The nafs and deen is not something that wallah, everyone and anyone that says, I want to be good, I get tawfiq to do it. It's not like that. It's not as easy as that. And even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through his sunnah, he knows, and he's a prophet, he knows how hard it is for this nafs to be tamed, for this nafs to be breaking in like the horse. Some of the ulama, they give the parable of a horse. You know, when you get a wild horse, you have to break the horse in order for it to be tame, in order for it to let you ride on its back, in order for it to befriend you. If it's wild, you can't just jump on and ride how you want. You have to break this horse in, you have to tame it, you have to train it, in order for it to be under your control. Same thing with this nafs. This nafs, it's not like an overnight process where a person's bad, whenever he wants to be religious, he be religious. It's not that easy. This nafs requires work. And for that, even the Prophet ﷺ used to make the famous dua, that most of us, if not memorized, have at least heard. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha wa anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Oh Allah, give my nafs taqwa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah, oh Allah, give my nafs taqwa. Give it that true fear of you. Give it that true consciousness of you. And purify it. And purify my nafs. Make it a pure nafs that loves the halal and doesn't like the haram. That stays away from the haram. That's disgusted from the haram. Make it love and only comfortable with the halal. You are the wali of my nafs. You are the guardian of my nafs. And mawlaha. And the lord of it. The master of it. So the first thing any one of us should do regarding his nafs is to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for assistance in taming the nafs, in fixing the nafs. Because unfortunately, many, many Muslims, their nafs is the one thing they can't overcome. For many Muslims, their nafs, whether it's to do with some of the defects of the nafs like pride, whether it's to do with the nafs loving the dunya too much, they have a problem in fixing it. The first one we should ask to help or with the assistance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal to fix your affairs. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you religious. Ask Allah to make you love the halal. Ask Allah to make you not like the haram. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you firm upon it, etc. Second is to hold yourself to account. When it comes to your nafs, you're going to be judged by Allah. What's one of the best ways to prepare for that judgment is for you to judge yourself now. What do they do now in the HSC, for anyone that knows anyone in year 12? You still in school? You just finished what? Year 12. What did you have just before your HSC?
Trials.
You had your trials. Why do you have your trials?
To prepare you
for that exam. They put you in a similar environment. They give you similar questions in order to prepare you for the ultimate result. And generally speaking, you get good in your trials, you get good in your HSC. You get bad in your trials, you get bad in your HSC. Any exam in the world, this is what it's there for. To test you before a test. You now, you know you're going to die, and you're going to be asked by Allah in the grave, and you're going to be resurrected and asked by Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of judgment. What have you prepared? You know the answer by testing yourself now. By examining yourself now. You're able to get some hint of your hereafter by looking at yourself now. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah, and let every nafs, let every soul, let every person look at what he has prepared for tomorrow. What does that mean by tomorrow? It means for the hereafter. Fear Allah and look at yourself, look at your life. What have you prepared for tomorrow? I'm going to be asked by Allah, where did I get my money? Then I'm going to need to look. Is my money earned in halal or is it earned in haram? If it's earned in halal, you say alhamdulillah. But if it's earned in haram, how can I repent? Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, is going to ask me, where did I spend my money? If I say, well, I'm a person that spends it in riba, spends it on alcohol and drugs, spends it on gambling, spends it on girls, spends it here, spends it there, then I know I need to rectify my affairs and repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a person is a person, alhamdulillah, he gives sadaqah, he spends on his family, he buys honorable things, he looks after the affairs of the Muslims, he looks after his relatives, etc., then alhamdulillah, he's prepared well. Whatever it may be, your time, your fun, your leisure, your diet, whatever it may be, look at yourself and ask yourself, what have I prepared for tomorrow? Give yourself that test now. And Umar radiallahu anhu, one of the most famous statements from Umar, is حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take yourself to account, judge yourself now before you're taken to account and judged. Sit down, some of the ulama say, sit down every night and ask yourself what you've done that day. Did I oppress anyone? Did I abuse anyone? Did I take the right of anyone? Was there something that I forgot? Did I fulfill all my obligations? Did I prepare? Did I do this? Did I do that? Was there a sin that I need to repent from? Etc., etc., etc. So that if you've prepared from in this world, then inshallah Allah Azza wa Jalla look after you on the day of judgment. Because you've prepared, you've done the best that you could. But the person who's heedless, doesn't matter what exam it is, whether it's his HSC, whether it's for his apprenticeship, whether it's a job interview, doesn't matter what it is. A person who's heedless and careless and he doesn't prepare for it, most of the time he's going to fail. The exact same when it comes to the hereafter. You haven't prepared for the hereafter and Allah takes your soul. There's a great chance that this person who hasn't prepared and died, that he will also fail that test on the Day of Judgment. In a'yadhan billah, that test on the Day of Judgment, there's no coming back from. If you fail your HSC, go to TAFE or do an apprenticeship. If a person fails at this job interview, go for another job interview next week. If a person fails on the Day of Judgment, the only thing from that failure, a'yadhan billah, is the hellfire. Number three, to purify your nafs. To work you yourself on purifying it. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purifies his nafs, and the loser is the one who دَسَّاهَا. دَسَّا is to like step on. How does a person step on his nafs in this literal term? How does he make it metaphoric? By sins. Because the more sins that you commit, if you keep on stepping something, what happens to it? It gets lower and lower into the ground. When you metaphorically step on your nafs with the sins, what happens to your nafs? It becomes better or it becomes worse? It becomes worse. So Allah says this person is the loser. Any of you ever seen the videos of people when they talk about purifying your nafs, where they give an example of water in a vessel? If I've got now a vessel, and yani, let's say for example I've got yani orange juice in this bottle. And the orange juice is the bad. If I want to put water, and the water is the purity. If I want to put water in this vessel, in this bottle of mine, in order to now change the ratio, change it from orange juice to water, how hard is it going to be? 80%, what are you talking about? You're going to have to keep on pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. What's the easiest way? Easiest way? Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a lot of these parables in order for us to understand. Our deen is not a deen of yani fairy tales and myths. Our deen is yani a deen that's mahsus. It's a deen that yani you can understand with your senses, a big part of it. When you want to purify yourself, don't try and think yani it's going to happen in some special way. Look at an example of a bottle. If I want to get the orange juice out of here, the best and easiest way is to tip out the orange juice and then refill it up with what? Refill it up with water after that. If I want to purify my nafs, the easiest way is to also do this. If I've got haram, if I've got something that's making my nafs impure, I need to try my best to throw away that impurity. It's going to be very, very, very hard. And this is for the young guys. MashaAllah, you're all young. Tabarakallah. It's going to be very hard for me to remain pure, my nafs to get pure, when I'm listening to Tupac, or 50 Cent, or Drake, or what was that girl that you said last time? Ariana Grande, whatever her name is. It's going to be very hard for me to be religious. Because what am I doing to my nafs? I came to one lesson during the week. But then every time I'm driving around, every time I'm on my phone, every time I'm at home, for the yani 3, 4, 5 hours a day, I'm giving my nafs what? Sickness, illness, impurity. It's going to be very hard when a person, his whole day is watching movies. There's so much things to corrupt your nafs today, it's not funny. A person, you watched one 15-minute lesson maximum on YouTube. So you got some purity. But then the next 3, 4 hours, yani, or your nighttime, is looking at haram. Whether it's on YouTube, or whether it's on yani, Instagram, or whether it's on Netflix, whatever it is. How are you going to be religious? How is your nafs going to be purified? The best way, the ultimate way is to cut out this haram, get it away, cut out the haram, and then to fill it up with purity. It could be your mates that are the corruption. It could be your job that's the corruption. It could be yani, your wealth that's the corruption. Allahu alam what it is. Person needs to see what's the corruptor of his soul and get rid of it and fill it up with purity, fill it up with iman, fill it up with goodness, fill it up with hasanat, and this is the one that Allah says is successful. Otherwise, you're going to have to take the very long path which most people fail. And that's what? When it's full of orange juice and they try and pour water. Very few people have enough water to pour in order to get that pure. What's the rate of people that are religious in prison, and when they come out of prison, they're no longer religious? It's in the high 90s. Why? Because when they were in prison, they got rid of some of that. They got rid of some of the orange juice, some of it. So they topped up the vessel with some water. But when they came back out of prison, what did they do? They dived into a pool of oranges. They didn't want to leave their mates. They didn't want to humble themselves. They didn't want to let go of their pride. They didn't want anyone to look down upon them. They didn't want to let anyone put over them. They didn't want to look at people making money and say, I don't want to make money. They didn't want it, they didn't want it, they didn't want it. And so they, khalas, they left. How many people, something bad happens to them in their life? They come to the sheikh and sheikh, please and help me and talk to me and counsel me and I need your assistance. The sheikh gives them a few words and he tells them how to change their life. They're not prepared. So they know that they need help. That's why they had the sheikhs in the first place. But then 3, 4, 5 weeks later, you see they're back exactly where they were before. Why? Because they didn't want to let go of the things that were corrupting them. If a person wants to be successful, according to what Allah calls successful, he needs to purify this nafs. And like we said with the bottle, the easiest way for that is to get rid of the haram. To get rid of it. And to fill it up with iman. Otherwise, you're going to keep a corrupted vessel full of impurity and try and pour water which is pure. How long is it going to take you? Very long time. And most people fail. Number 4, to fight your nafs to do good. To actually fight your nafs to do good. Allah said, and this is one of the types of the nufus, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّهِ. Verily the nafs is a commander for you to do evil. Except whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has mercy upon. Except to Allah made an exception. This nafs, what does this nafs always tell you to do? Does it tell you to get up and pray tahajjud? Does your nafs tell you to get up and give half of your wealth in sadaqah? Your nafs doesn't do that. Your nafs tells you what? Wallah, I'm bored at home. Khalas, let's see what the boys are doing. They're sitting, they're smoking pot, they're talking to girls, they're doing this. Well, you're going to stay bored or you're going to be with your mate? Khalas, just go be with your mate. This is what happens. For a lot of people that have a little bit of wealth, Halla, you're going to go home, you're going to go rent and pay someone else's mortgage? What are you going to rent for? Khalas, go get your own loan and buy your own house. One sheikh said that you can get your first house on the river. This is enough speaking. And you see all the funny fatwa come out of it. The nafs al-ammaratun bisu. A person's driving past and he sees a girl. They don't even give themselves the excuse to one look nowadays. It's just khalas, you're going to look at her now and that's it. Khalas, you're finished. The sheikh said it's a minor sin anyway. You look. It's just your nafs always telling you to do bad. That's your nafs. So what do you need to do? You need to punch on with your own nafs. You have to punch on with your own nafs. You have to fight your own nafs. You have to remind yourself, you have to force your nafs. Just like we said with the horse. That wild horse is not going to let you get on its back and control it. You have to fight it until it becomes under your control. The same thing with your nafs. You're going to have to fight your nafs until you force it to be upright and religious. Especially in that beginning phase, when you want to get from a life full of haram and you want to start being religious, impossible without a fight. And this is a fight that most people lose. This is a fight, unfortunately, most people lose because they're not willing to go the 12 rounds with their nafs. The first round, the first week, the first 2 weeks, mashallah, they're winning the fight. The second round, that pump up lesson starts to calm down. Their mate that died starts to be forgotten. Their mum or dad who died, they start to get over it. Third round, fourth round, fifth round, see you later. Their nafs overtake them and they just go back to living the way that they were. Again, because they didn't purify their nafs. So you need to fight your nafs. And Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةِ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The Jannah has been surrounded by what? Things which are disliked. Things which are disliked. That's what the Jannah has been surrounded by. And the hellfire, Jahannam, has been surrounded by what? Shahwat, desires. The things that you don't like to do, that's what the path to Jannah is. No one likes to wake up in the middle of, in the cold and come to Fajr. No one likes that at the beginning. No one likes to fast a day that they're not obliged to fast. No one likes to give big amounts of money in sadaqah. No one allowed, likes at the beginning to sit down for 1 hour and read the Quran. No one likes to come and sit in a lesson every single night. No one likes to go out and give da'wah. No one likes to give up wearing, for some people, gold or certain types of jewelry. No one likes to say, oh, I have to get rent, I can't get a loan. No one likes to say, you know what, because I can't afford this brand new car, I have to drive that second-hand car. A lot of people don't like that. And the nafs doesn't like that, especially at the beginning. But there's good news that Allah Azza wa Jal allows, once you've tamed your nafs, for these things to be the most beloved things to you over anything else. To the extent that sometimes you look at someone that doesn't do anything, what a miskin. This is after a while of being religious, trying your best properly to be religious, you get to an extent when you find that someone doesn't read Quran every single day, you're like, how can you be a Muslim and not read Quran? When you see some people that are up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning at the gym, but that same person won't get to pray to the Fajr at the masjid, be like, wallah, you're a miskin. Wallah, you're a sad, poor person. When you see a person, they're 30, 40, 50 years old, and they told you, I don't sit in lessons. You think, no wonder you don't have any knowledge of your religion. You don't know how to worship Allah. Sometimes you get people coming, they'll spend money on the most stupidest of things. $15,000, $16,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a watch. You say, there's people dying. Would you give $3,000, $4,000? Says, wallah, speak to me next week, inshallah, I maybe have some money free. Well, you just spent $30,000 on a watch. How can you not have that spare money free? Or a person, mashallah, they're first class. But the masjid needs $20,000, $40,000 to get rid of its Qarid Hassan. Wallah, I'll see, inshallah, if things go all right, I'll see how it works out. So to spend on yourself was so easy. To spend for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal became a problem. When you become religious properly, after you've fought yourself, after you've tamed yourself, that's what becomes more beloved to you. I can guarantee you that, or I can almost guarantee you, when you hear some speakers say, okay, just read one page of Quran a day, in that speaker's mind, he's embarrassed to say, read one page of Quran a day. He's embarrassed. Because anything less than 20 pages of Quran a day, you finishing the Quran once every month, anything less than that has a question mark on it. You have to have a very good reason for you not to read the Quran every single month. 20 pages, and if you know how to read properly, 40 minutes maximum. 40 minutes, and you've read 20 pages, you finish the Quran every single month. So when a speaker says, who knows how to read, when he says read one page of Quran, inside, in front of Allah, he's embarrassed. Inside, he's embarrassed to say read 2 or 3 minutes of Quran a day. He's embarrassed in front of Allah. But this is how you build yourself. You have to start somewhere in order for you to reach your goal. For yes, you're going to find a lot of problems at the beginning. A lot of problems. But that's where your fight comes in. And one of the best ways to fight these things that you don't like is consistency. You have to put a goal in your mind and stick to that goal. For example, you say, I'm going to come to this lesson and this lesson every single week. No matter what happens, you're at that lesson. There's no excuses. Unless you're extremely sick or there's a big family emergency, you don't miss that lesson. Someone's doing a barbecue, someone's going having a party, someone's going overseas, something's on TV, Fortnite just had a new update. No excuse. No excuse. You're always there. Especially things like the salawat. The salawat, khalas, you make it in your head, Aisha, salah, I'm praying in the masjid. The one salah a day. There's no going back from it. Aisha, salah, I'm praying in the masjid every single day, no matter what it takes. And you work your life around it. You want to get a gym? Okay, get a gym after or before. But not at Aisha time. Whatever it may be. Sadaqah. Every month, every week, I'm going to give $20. No, according to his ability. Every week, I'm going to give $20. That's my goal now. After that, if Allah increases you in wealth, give more. But now, every week, I'm going to give 20. Then once you start to get yourself used to these things, if you haven't tipped out all of the haram from the beginning to purify your nafs, now at least you're adding to this purity and it's consistent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَحَبُّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved acts to Allah are the consistent ones, even if they're small. So you do what you need to do, but make sure it's consistent. And that consistency, inshallah, after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, inshallah, azza wa jal, you will have that strong iman. You'll be a person who's able to stand in front of the fitan. But before that, you won't be able to do anything. The last one for tonight is to disobey your nafs and the shaitan in doing the haram. To disobey your nafs and the shayateen, we should say, in doing the haram. From the verse in the hadith that we just mentioned, but also we added to this one, also there's shayateen of mankind. Everyone know Surah An-Nas? Qul a'udhu bi an-nas. Yalla, bismillah. Qul a'udhu bi an-nas. Malik an-nas. Ilahi an-nas. Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri an-nas. Min al-jinnati wan-nas. The whole surah, what are you doing? You're asking Allah for protection. You're asking Allah for protection. What protection are you asking Allah for? The last three verses, you're asking Allah's protection from the waswas of the shayateen. The waswas of the shayateen. Which shayateen? Min al-jinnah wal-nas. From the jinn and from mankind. And nas is mankind. Don't think that wallah the only shaitan is the jinn that you can't see. Sometimes the biggest shaitan is your best friend. Sometimes your biggest shaitan are the people that you hang around. Sometimes the biggest shaitan is your phone. Sometimes the biggest shaitan is your TV. Whatever it may be. Anything that pulls you away from Allah Azza wa Jal, metaphorically can be considered a shaitan. Metaphorically, obviously not really. Metaphorically can be considered a shaitan. You need to say, what is it holding me away from Allah? What's holding me back from Allah? That's what I need to get rid of. I know from myself, it was extremely hard for me to be properly religious until alhamdulillah there was a problem between me and my friends, you know, that group that I used to hang around with before. I used to alhamdulillah go to lessons and everything. But then always after the lessons there was the haram. How did alhamdulillah, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla allow me to go more towards the halal? It was that there was a problem with me and the immediate group of friends that I used to hang out with, and that allowed me to move completely away from them and to only now move to be and around the halal. And this, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, yani allowed me to get much closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to say, what is it with you? Is it a girlfriend for the girls? Is it a boyfriend? Is it pornography? Is it movies? Is it wasting time? Is it that you don't have a job? What is it? You have to say, what's that shaitan holding you back from Allah Azza wa Jal? And you have to fight it. And as we said, وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The fire has been surrounded by desires. So you need to remember that. All of this stuff that I'm doing now, my mate who I think is the best mate, Allah said, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That best mate, the one that I say I'll die for, the one that 3/4 of the Muslims are dying for now, their best mate in haram, or were best mates in haram, Allah said about them, the best friends, al-akhillah. Al-akhillah is not al-azdiqah. Al-azdiqah are friends. But this is al-akhillah. Khalil is a close friend. The close friends, the best of friends on the day of judgment will be enemies to one another. Except the muttaqeen. Except those who truly fear Allah. Because your friend that's telling you now, take this, do this, speak to this girl, let's go meet up with her. Or for the girls, look at this guy, go to this guy, don't worry about what your dad said, don't worry about your brother said, come, I'll let you lie yani, with me, I'll say that to your dad that you're sleeping at my house, but really we'll go here. All of these people that you think, wallah, they're close now, what are they doing on the day of judgment? You're going to be hating them, because they're going to be the reason that you go to the hellfire. That's why you hate them. When you see the reality, people helping each other now do haram, on the day of judgment, they're going to be where? They're going to be enemies to one another. Sometimes they're telling Allah, oh Allah, they're the reason I done haram. So give them an increase in the hellfire. Give them an increase of punishment. They start making dua against one another. As for the muttaqeen, those who are truly religious, these are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts love between their hearts and puts love of acts of worship before one another. Let's go to the masjid. Don't worry about this. Let's go do that. Let's look, there's this project. Let's donate towards it. Let's go here, let's fix ourselves, let's change. Let's go visit this person, let's go give da'wah to that person. Let's go learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go do this, let's go help the Muslims, let's. And it's all acts of worship. So these people will be friends in this dunya and friends on the day of judgment. You need to see what's the shaitan that's holding you back from Allah Azza wa Jal and fight that shaitan. So just yani, a quick recap. The three types of nufus, you want to be bare minimum, that nafs al-lawwama now, which is that nafs that does good and does bad, but it loves when it does good and it hates when it does bad, and you want to be pushing yourself to a nafs al-mutma'inna. Then from the etiquette, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assist you in fixing yourself. And then there's a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that. Hold yourself to account, and judge yourself now before you're judged by Allah Azza wa Jal. To work on purifying your nafs and know that Allah is the one that called these people successful and He called the other ones losers. Fight your nafs to do good. Actually fight it, because it's got a tendency to do bad. Fight your nafs until it becomes the norm for your nafs to do good and to hate the bad and to purposely disobey your nafs and the shayateen from taking you away from Allah. Look at all of these things that keep you as an individual away from Allah Azza wa Jal and fight it, so that inshallah you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's happy with you and you are happy with Him and you look forward to the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal instead of being fearful from His punishment. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله محمد وعلى آله محمد وصحبه أجمعين.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.